weak. He'll be on maybe on the roof of the building. Everybody will see that that's where he is. He's starving to death because we are fighting. He told the man, I think it was the prime minister or something, that you have added some weight. I think you should join me in this my fast. Now, it's the answer the man gave him that I want to quote for you. The man smiled and said, like, sir, I don't know the name he called him. He said, when you fast, the whole world listens. If I fast, I die for nothing. Look, that if I go on a fast waiting, nobody, that if you go hungry, everybody listens. And of course, they stop fighting because the man was on his fast. Now, what I'm going to say, that showed the amount of power he was wielding over the people without raising a fist. In my understanding, it's because of the little way he went. That is, he had that great power over people because he obeyed these words of Jesus to a small limit. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. That listen, let me drum that thing home. Let me tell you the truth. The truth about some of the laws of Christianity, when I say laws now, not commandments, but the principles of that God expects us to obey. You can't preach it to people, they will think you are crazy. My good example, I'll use it because you know that even you sitting down there think something's wrong with me. Not all of you, some of you. All right? I remember those days as a young man, God gave me, I believe was insight. I'm not saying full, but beyond what most people had concerning the relationship between husband and a wife. And there was no way I discussed it that the women didn't look at me and tell me I should go to a village and go and marry. I'm telling you the truth. They're like, where has this one come from? I'm not discussing that one now, all right? I just want to explain something to you. That if you see what God demands before you have power with him, I said something to you earlier, that was in previous days, that the person who had the greatest power in the house, all right, between a man and a woman, is the woman in approaching God. If she obeys what God says she should do, the guy will be small when it comes to power with God compared to her. Let me tell you, it's not easy. I used to tell my wife something those days. That if I have to persuade you about everything before you obey, then what difference does it make that I'm your husband and the next guy is a stranger? Because if you're going on the road and a man stopped you and said, madam, don't go that way, and he explained to you that the roads are bad, there are thieves there, some boys are robbing there, you will turn back, right? Anyone who makes sense will be obeyed. They say you're crazy. You will obey every man that makes sense. Do you get my point? So, it is not a plus at all before God that a woman obeys her husband because it makes sense. Because every fool, only fools, that's a better way to say it, only fools don't obey the people that make sense. The test of submission is when you don't agree. Are you hearing what I say? When you agree, what's the big deal? Every man that agrees, obeys. The test of submission is that you don't think so. I give us an example. Those days when I was a postgraduate student, doctor. And one day, I'm a histopathologist, all right? So one day we're making a diagnosis of a particular case. And my chief said something. My colleague and I, we looked and said, we think this is a diagnosis. So when the thing went to the chief said, no, it's so and so thing. He said something like that. Do you understand? And I remember that, Tola and I looked at each other, no, this is not right. Chief must be mistaken. So we walked up to her and said, chief, this is what we think. And she tried to explain, we didn't understand. She tried to explain, we didn't grab the point. So we just said finally that, anyway, you're the chief, whatever you say goes. This is the interesting part. After that, we signed the whole thing. Then later on, she bothered to explain further. And then suddenly, her explanations began to make sense. Now, initially, the diagnosis went her way because she was the chief. And now, not just because she's chief in name, she's a chief we knew that was chiefly. Do you understand my point? No, my chief knew her stuff, believe me. I still say that she's one of the best pathologists I've ever met till tomorrow. She's very good. My chief is damn good. So though we couldn't get the point, but said, chief, no, they make mistake. No, that was the attitude in our souls, that no, if chiefs insist, then she must be correct. It turned out later that she was correct. You talk about submission. Another example I like to give was when we organized our convention, my alumni fellowship. And there were some rules we had put in place. We came down for the convention, and the president had given an instruction that was against the principle we were using to operate. So after the first night meeting, we all gathered in a room and began to talk that, no, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do this. And I remember Brother Philip insisted that he tried to explain. We were there for hours going to and fro. We finished the first night late, but we now entered into one of the hotel rooms, and we now began to have that meeting. I think it was around 2 or 3 a.m. Finally, the vice president then said, oh, Bro Philip, we have talked long enough. You're the president. What's your verdict? Christians don't do democracy. Forget all of that. We don't. No. So you're the president. What's your verdict? He said, as far as I'm concerned, it stays the way I said it should be done. And we all said, fine. And listen, fine is not like, have it your way now. You know, when you know those who are not really submissive, have it your way now. You know you are the man. Have it your way now. What can I do? Have it your way now. No. It was, all right, President, that's what you have said. Fine. So we joined hands, gave God thanks, and prayed there, you know, and left. Believe me, it was the best convention we ever had up to that particular point in time. Now, what I'm going to explain. That is submission. Do you get what I'm going to say? It is not that I agree. I'm bringing up an issue. Listen. Sarah walked up to Abraham and said, this is the issue here. And the man said, no. And the woman walked away. Now, she was passionate. Now, listen to me. She knew she was right. Don't forget that point. She was absolutely sure she was correct. Yet, when Abraham said no, she left the matter and went back. I've heard people say that, you see, Sarah is not the typical person that a woman should be. A woman should be this and that and that. All right. Be unto you according to your faith. I don't want to say for that, but my wife knows what I'm talking about. All right, it was somewhere she was when I came to report the thing to me. Sarah left it like that. This is power with God. Now listen to me. This is what? Say it loud. This is what? After she left it like that, God now went there and told Abraham, now you get up and go and do exactly what your wife said. That is power with God. Let me tell you something about God. Let's assume the woman has a PhD I think homiletics would be good. Sermon building and hermeneutics, both of them. And she did an LLB and got to LLM in law. So now she can marshal her sermons and use legal backing. She will begin talk. You know what God will do? God will take his car key, say, I'm going for a drive. When you finish, let me know. And then when you finish arguing, Abraham will say, like I always tell my wife and I, what's the way I did to her? I said, I have gotten your point. And I say, no. I do to my residents too. So that they explain, chief, what we mean is this. What we mean is this when they finish. Are you finished? Yes. Now, let me tell you something. Everything you said, I heard. To prove to you I understand, I will repeat it. That's the thing. You say yes. I said, now my answer is no. All right? What do you want to do? Now, do you follow what I'm saying? That's what happened. God will look, and that's it. The thing is, there's a stalemate. You are there grumbling. No power. God is not helping you. But Sarah understood it. How she came to understand it, we don't know, but she understood it. And God gave it to us as an example. The woman, now listen, the woman laid down her right to herself. And that way, God went there and became her defense. If I say this, those from Niger Delta, they will behead me. God will say, you want resource control? They will say, yes, stop asking for it. You hear what I said? That's how God works. Say, so you want resource control? Take 2 full-page ads in every daily newspaper in Nigeria for 1 week. Apologize for breaking the pipelines. Apologize for kidnapping. Beg for mercy. Beg and say, from now on, we don't want resource control again. And go, you know, God, say, I'll give it to you in 6 months. What you have fought for years and you are not near getting. Because the day you forget it and say, no, take it. And let me tell you something, you can't manipulate God. That's what a lot of us Christians do. See, Pastor Banky has said, this is how to get resource control. So, that is, you are still going for the same thing. Are you getting my point? You have not changed your mind about what you want. Because that's my message to you. The first thing is that God will first bring you to a point where you wouldn't care about the resource anymore. Listen to me, as a child of God, before he gives you control, he will ensure you don't want it. You hear what I said? Let me say it to you again. Before God gives you that resource control, he will make sure you don't want it again. That until you see it as a matter of responsibility, I won't give it to you. As long as you are seeing it as my right, I deserve it, I own it, I should use it. God said, fine, I will first explain to you that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and all that, the world and all that it contains. I will show you that the oil, the gold, you, the boat, the water belongs to me. I can keep the oil here and give it to a man who lives in Sahara Desert. Say, why? Because it's mine. It's not yours. One of the reasons why we make money, the way we make money, is because we actually think some things belong to us. And I see Nigerians say, the roads are not good. I always ask, why should it be good? No, ask yourself a simple question. Why should it be good? The day you were born, did you bring good road into the earth? You think it's your best right because American roads are good? Don't be stupid, my friend. Your grandfather never saw road. And he was born in the same nation. Listen, I believe John F. Kennedy was inspired when he said, stop asking what your country will do, can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Look, that's how God is. You want it, you first make sure you don't want it. I don't know whether you can understand. He will first make sure you don't want it. Before he blessed Abraham with the promise that he gave to Abraham, he made sure Abraham was able to give up Isaac. Before he gave Hannah the first child, Samuel, Hannah said, just give him to me and I will give him back to you. He said, fine, then I'll give you plenty. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's why I keep on saying, listen, until you get to a position of rest inside your soul, in which whether you have or you don't have, it makes no difference to you, then you're not going anywhere. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Power with God is this matter of what? Consecration. There's something I want us to read. Quickly, Genesis chapter 1. Or is it chapter 1 now? Please don't forget what I said. You can come to Jesus the way you are. But listen to me, you want to increase in power with God, what God first does is to strip you of every attachment to everything. You must not love your life unto death. That is, you will so despise your life that if it means dying, are you hearing what I'm saying? That you might fulfill the will of God, you would rather die than not fulfill that will. There was something that Oswald Chambers said. This is how we get power with God. That's what I'm trying to explain. Oswald Chambers said that was Adam created perfect? I can't remember how he framed his question. But the answer I remember very well. He said Adam was a natural man. Yes, I remember. Let me use my own words now. He said Adam was a natural man. But God designed that, listen to this, that through a series of moral choices, Adam will convert that which is natural to that which is spiritual. Are you getting the point? That is, hunger is natural, as an example. Is that okay? You have a right to food. But then a day will come, God will put his will on the left and put food on the right. I don't know whether you get my point. And I say, choose one. That this food will be eaten against the will of God, though it is legitimate, it is legal, it is not a sin. Do you know what I mean? The way we talk about sin. Please, I need to explain this. Abraham had the right to the things he gave both to Melchizedek and to the king of Sodom. Do you know that? Yet he left there with nothing. Why? Because he had a promise from God. That was what gave him the power to be able to lay hold of that promise. Jesus said, no, he said, I lay down my life of myself. He said, no one takes it away from me by force. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Now, Bishop Oedipo interpreted something in particular with that particular statement that blessed me so much. I heard it many years ago, more than 10 years ago. He said, power to lay down must necessarily precede the power to take it up. Are you getting my point? Listen, as far as I understand it, our modern, contemporary, pre-Christianity, there's a lie we tell to people. We preach godliness as a means of gain. I don't know whether I get my point. That is the reason, this is my pet example. I will say it until everybody gets tired of hearing it. But I won't stop until they all believe it. When it's preached to me that the reason why I give is because it helps me to get that is satanic. The word satanic is not a mistake. I use it deliberately. It is a satanic principle. You know why? Because you are not giving. You are still thinking of yourself. You have not laid anything down. Therefore, it's not impressive. Therefore, now listen, you say, but God promised. Listen, let me tell you something about God and promises. We're talking about power with God. Oh, God. Let me tell you something about God and promises. God walked up to Moses, Solomon and said, you come. Ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. You know what that means? Anything I ask for, I get. You know what it means? Anything. Anything could actually be my neighbor's wife. She's very fine. I like her. You know, in quote. Anything. Anything be like, God, can you see those Assyrians? Their kingdom is bigger than our own. So you know what? I want to annex all the neighboring. Yes, all the neighboring kingdoms, add them to my own. Bring it. Now, you get my point? God said what? Anything. You are following my point? Okay, so Pastor Banky, why are you using such a dangerous example? Let's leave it. Let's leave dangerous examples. Let's leave common things. Let's use the word of God himself. God said you could have asked for the life of your enemies, not your friends at least. See, that one is legitimate. In those days, it was the life of your enemies. You could have asked for riches and long life. Those are things he could ask for. And these are things that God gave to him. But God, who said ask for anything, now said to him that because you didn't ask for all these things that he could have asked for, therefore, I will bless you beyond your imagination. That is, Solomon could have come to testify, not knowing that he missed the will of God. That praise God, like the lie we like to tell to ourselves, after I gave 1,000 burnt offerings, heaven was filled with the smoke of my sacrifice. Jima, you remember? He knows what I'm talking about. So use the sacrifice to unlock. Like the Joker said, Chima knows what I'm talking about. If they sacrifice the goat to tie you down, you will sacrifice a Mercedes Benz to lose yourself. I said, it's a very silly statement. I like the example I used to correct Chima when we were discussing it. I said, if you use a cheap pen to sign a contract, is it binding? It is binding. Whether you like, you use cheap pen or expensive pen. It is pen. So if tomorrow I decide to go and write another document, say to overcome this one by signing with an expensive pen, does it annul the other one? It doesn't. The cost of the pen doesn't. So it is, if you like, sacrifice mountain. By the way, this is just for education purposes. In spiritual realms, petrol and engine oil doesn't count. It's blood that counts. So the man that used lizard to tie you down, you cannot loosen it with a railway, you understand, with a train. Because it is blood that counts, all right? And just to complete it, the blood of Jesus is the weightiest of bloods. Are you getting my point? And it has delivered everyone that draws near to God by him. Are you getting my point? And if they lie, let them sacrifice a whole village of human beings with all the cow contained to tie you down. Once you believe in Christ Jesus, you have been loosed. Every shackle has been broken. Do you get that point? Let's leave that one there. Let's get back to our message. Now, so Solomon we're talking about. Solomon will come and testify that after I give my gigantic sacrifice, God came one night and said, as you ask for anything, say, brethren, I have 6 new wives. I ask the Lord for them. Don't be jealous. Look at all my cars. I asked the Lord for them. He gave them to me. Look at all the mountains that I have full of houses, buildings. In fact, I had the special one designed. I said, dear Lord, I want my house to look like Mount Zion. Isn't serving the Lord good? And you know, ignoramus is saying, my God, breakthrough. And God, you know, as they are giving the testimony, rub eyebrow. This boy doesn't know that he's an idiot. That I gave him a test and he failed. He's bragging. You don't get my point? He failed a test and is bragging. You know what I said? He failed a test and is bragging. He thinks, listen to me, every time God puts you in a situation where you have to make a choice, the first question he asks is, which choice will be pleasing to God? Not which one is best. Now, go and read out my little book, What's God's Will Here? I explained something there. The first chapter is, what is God's will? The book is, what is God's will here? The first chapter is what? The will of God. What is it? That's what I'm trying to make. That is, what is the will of God? He said that, what is the will of God? I'm a woman. I want to choose. There are six men chasing me. What do I do now? What is the will of God? When you are praying, Father God, which one will get richer over the next 10 years? No, seriously. Because of your background, you know, this poverty Nigerian mentality. You get my point? Yes, poor people, that's how they think. They think there is prosperity mentality, but actually it's poverty. Once money is everything to you, you're a poor man. Do you get my point? If you have $1 billion, you're poor. Don't forget that our scripture from Revelation chapter 3. Those, a lot of people said they were rich, and God said they are what? They are poor, wretched, blind, and naked. And he said they were rich. So because of our poverty mentality, sometimes you say, God, what in your mind, what you are saying is that which one will get richer, which one will, you know, his money can fly away, which one will his money not fly away? So when we are saying what is God's will, a lot of times that's what we are saying. There are two jobs. You are asking yourself, which one will I get fired, which one will I not get fired? Which one will I become MD quicker? So when you are praying, those are the things you are asking for. But that is not what makes the will of God. A man, a woman of full understanding knows that, listen, I wasn't born by accident. I did not come to this earth by chance. Are you getting my point? I was specially created by God to fulfill a particular purpose. Therefore, when I'm saying what is God's will, what am I asking? Lord, in which of these or with which one of these people will I be able to fulfill your plan for my life? I was driving down from Onitsha yesterday, my wife and I went to Newe actually. So Pastor Onitsha. So on the road, you know, we're just talking about things. I said, wife, you know, I thought about it. I said, no, be me marry you. Now God marry you and me together. So when I think about it, when I look at everything, it's not an accident. You know, that you became my wife, I became your husband. I said, God said, this is how it's going to be. No, I won't give you this why we say so, why I said so. There are many things I just considered. I said, if you know the kind of person where I be, eh? Now, you say your wife looks like you, look like your wife, these people look like you, your husband. Yes, that's because that's how God made it. The way I was, all right? Now, lie. She and me, no be, it's not, it will, you will not have predicted and prophesied it. I was just thinking about it. Now, you say, Pastor Bangwada, you say, the fact is that, I used to say something those days, that there's only one woman on the earth I can marry. Who's the woman? I said, the one that God ordained. Do you know how? I don't. I will find out one day. Say, when will you find out? I said, the day they pronounce us man and wife. I said, before that time, na fantasy. You can dream. No, I keep on saying, these dreams, be careful. There are different kinds of dreams. There are dreams that God gave you. All right? They are a minority. Most of the dreams you have, now too much chopping. You've watched all kinds of movies. You've read all kinds of novels. Which kind of woman do you want to marry? The girl would describe it. She doesn't realize she's not describing. It's Barbara Catlin that's describing. She's not describing. It's all the authors of romance novels that are describing. They are speaking through her. Who's the perfect gentleman? She starts reciting all the lies they tell in Mnet movies. You get my point? They've conditioned it into her. So the day the will of God appears, it's not the gentleman. The will of God is not the gentleman. According to Miles Morrow, sometimes they come, they are looking so rough. Say, God, I said, give me a handsome man. Is this your idea of handsome? And God said, relax, the boy never bath. Wait first. Thank God. I know what I'm saying. So what happens? The truth is that if you really will follow God, listen, I say, how will I know it's God's will? I'm not discussing marriage today, all right? I'm not at all. But I'm just trying to explain certain principles there. That the will of God is not what looks nice to me. What defines the will of God is that this was what I was created to do. Listen, you can have two jobs on the ground. One pays 600,000 naira every week. That's not much anyway. After all, is it Kaka or who is it? Ronaldo. That they moved recently. And they calculated the amount of money the guy is supposed to be earning in a week. The richest men in Nigeria don't earn it in a year. No, most of those rich boys around. They don't earn it in a week. You can see that option there. And you look on the left. I'm going to give you 50,000 naira. And I will tax it though, in case you didn't know. And they will tell you, you are crazy. How can you take it? But sometimes you take it because this is the one that's moving me in the direction where I'm supposed to go. I remember when I finished my postgrad in those days. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to preach. So let me see where God will lead me to so I can preach. I wasn't preaching, you know, by doing ministry until I came to Enugu. I said it long before. I remember then I went to see some people were discussing. So where are you going to work after your postgrad training? People thought that maybe I would drop my application. Maybe Shell will be employing. I said, Shell. After somebody recommended you try some of these oil companies. I said, for what? They looked at me. I said, I'm going to apply in the university. Ah! Listen, it was a sin. You didn't hear what I said. To work as a university lecturer, and at the time I was about to finish my residency training, it was a sin. This was when professors were still managing to collect 20,000 naira a month. It was a sin. When boys were hustling and buying shoes for 25,000, that was what a professor was getting a month. And I told people that I was going to apply for a job in the university. People look at me like, are you normal? Perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. As far as wealth and prosperity was concerned, I settled it years before that. I settled it the day I read Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I knew I would never have to beg. I won't run because of money. I won't turn my stones to bread. No, I won't. They said, why? I said, because of the kind of life I want to lead. That's the perfect job for me. I said, I like to teach, and it will give me the time I need to commence my work in ministry. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Oh God, I've not even gotten to the main thing I want to say. But anyway, I think I've begun it. The power of consecration. What defines the will of God? I want to just let me end today with it. They will continue that power of consecration maybe part two next time, all right? What defines the will of God is that this was what I was created to be, not the one that pays me better. And these are the things you put in mind when you are making choices. You know, there was something I quoted for us that time that Moses called Joshua and said, this is why God brought you to life, that you might help these people possess their inheritance. Please, you will grow up into God so that you'll be able to look and know that everything material is vanity. That you may get to know that everything material is what? Vanity. Moses looked at Joshua and said, oh boy, get up or be strong. Because you must help these people possess the land. Therefore, be courageous. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? He said, you must be courageous. You were born to help these people possess the land. Therefore, if I'm making choices, it must follow, if God gives me the opportunity to know what's going on, it must follow the direction of helping the people possess the land. I said, there are scriptures that define your life. You read the Bible, you will discover your own one day. Demos Shakarian, founder of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. He kept on walking and reading. Then one day he stumbled upon what the Bible calls the ministry of helps. He said, oh, this defines me. And I read mine. God said through Jeremiah, he said, I will give them pastors or teachers, shepherds after my own heart, who will feed them with knowledge and understanding, or wisdom and understanding. The day I read it, I said, this describes my life. If you put me in a place where that will not be allowed, I won't follow you. Are you getting my point? In fact, I like the way Isaiah said it. He said, the Lord instructed me with a mighty hand and said, in the same manner, I, Banky, was instructed with a mighty hand to be careful that nobody stifles the voice that God has given me, with which I will propagate his truth. People have tried to make me keep their own vineyards in several places. I said, no. He said, I am dark but comely. He said, why? Because the sun shone upon me. He said, why? What was I doing? My brothers made me keep their vineyards. My own vineyard I have not kept. He said, you are not going to make me die before my time. Why am I explaining all of these things? I said, these are the things we bear in mind. Are you getting my point? That when God puts us down and says, ask for anything, Solomon understood. Listen, the reason why my father went to commit wahala was so that I might be born. You know, I told you earlier that if you do what is wrong and you repent fully, God will make it appear as if that was the right thing to do. By the time he finished helping Solomon, David, David suffered. Don't think that just go and disobey God and say, I will say, I'm sorry. All right? When you do like that, you will know the meaning of the disciplining of the Lord. You will wish it did not start. But by the time God finished correcting David, and David was fully repented and fully reconciled and fully punished, he now had Solomon as a son. All the sons before Solomon were not good. People like Absalom, fine boy, no pimples, plotting against his father. Absalom was very handsome. The other one that was the mafia boss of those days takes his revenge when it is cold. So that is when it is sweetest. No. Absalom is the one, sorry. Absalom is the mafia boss. He said, no, daddy, don't think about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. Forget it. You don't know that Amnon is in trouble. 2 full years, nothing spoiled. Don't relax. Amnon, don't forget. God said, I'm not going to make a mafia boss the king over this nation. For David to have a king to replace him, he had to marry Bathsheba. It appears like. Do you understand my point? And have Solomon. So when Solomon was born, go and read Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4. And a lot of those Proverbs, down to chapter 8, they were the Proverbs of David, not the Proverbs of Solomon. It's just that they were spoken by Solomon. So that's why I will tell you that while I was young, my father used to say, and my mother will say, and you listen to, you know what that tells me? It shows that David used to talk a lot with Bathsheba and taught Bathsheba a lot of things that she taught to Solomon. So all those instructions in Proverbs 1, 2, 3, go and read it. You will see he was reporting something that somebody said. That is, he told him that this is not how kings behave. Listen to me. Listen, democracy, you know what they call democracy? It's a modern day patch work for ruling this earth. It's not God's divine order. Let me tell you the real order. You see, rulership with God is not a sign of prosperity. That is, you are a king. A prophet was a prophet. He was not a king. The priest was a priest. He was not a king. The king was a king. He was not a priest, not a prophet. So just another job. In Israel, you had to be born a priest. Do you know that? In the same manner, listen, you had to be born a prince, or a king. You know the real way to rule this is, I'll tell you, the same way doctors go to school to study medicine, all right? Lawyers go to school to study law. Presidents are supposed to go to school, study presidency, international relations, how to manage ministries, and then one day we appoint one of the best as the president. The problem we have is that we don't love ourselves, we don't trust anybody. Therefore, we will all agree to vote an illiterate. We all agree to vote a nincompoop as our governor or president because at least he's from our place. We trust him. Even though he's ineffective, he doesn't know anything. I'm not talking politics. I'm just telling you about something about divine order. Let America not make look as if democracy is the best thing on the earth. It's not true. It's not true, and I can prove it to you. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he won the first presidential election, won the second, won the third, won the fourth. He died 6 months into his first presidency. After that, they made a law to stop it. They made a law so that it won't happen again. I told myself, if you really believe in democracy, why don't you let the people keep on voting? He never rigged one election. He was so popular, people kept on voting for him. He pulled the nation out of what they call the Great Depression. He did. So if you really believe in democracy, you shouldn't put that kind of clause. So there's nothing perfect about it. The most popular man doesn't have to be the best man. Absalom would defeat David any day in an election. Go and read the Bible. Absalom would defeat David any day in an election. And according to this man, during the Second War, Prime Minister of Great Britain, Winston Churchill said, if Hitler had died in 1938, he would have been one of the greatest leaders that ever lived. That if that guy, God had just done him a favor and killed him in 1938, The world will be worshipping him till today. Because this was a man who balanced the budgets, brought the economy. He said, look, according to one man was talking the history, that listen, before Hitler became president, the German mark was exchanging for about $4 billion to $1. I forgot how many billions to a dollar. Until shortly after they declared it a worthless currency. That Hitler pulled everybody out into shape in a few years. That if he had died in 38, people would have worshipped him forever. What am I going to explain? I digress, all right? Let me get back to my message quickly. My time is up. Look, if you had, by democracy, that guy would have won again and again. And that's, he was very popular in Egypt, in Germany, you know that. All this one that you are talking against him now is because the rest of the world says he's a bad man. So the Germans have to comply. So democracy, listen to me. It doesn't, it's not God's perfect order. It's just the modern day patch work that God is using. At least it's better than some of the autocracy where they get some certain parts of the world. Let me just finish my message so we can go. The real order was what happened to Solomon. That's what I'm going to explain. Solomon was born a king. So from the beginning, experience, in fact, Dr. Bollinger said that he believed that David had the school of wise men that used to train Solomon. The man used to go to school to become a king. He let, look, what does he begin to demonstrate after? God anointed him with an oil that fitted with the preparation of his heart. The man could turn any economy. That's the best form of governance. Kings that were born kings and taught how, look, why God eradicated that one was that in Europe, all the kings became goats. You know what I'm trying to say? They thought to be a king meant you were a lord. No. You should be afraid. The first day they said, Saul, you'll be king. You know he ran. That's how real kings should behave. They will see the responsibility and they will be afraid. But this point I'm making. Because of the knowledge of purpose, the day God asked Solomon, what do you want? He said, Oga, for this reason we were born. Therefore, please, let's fulfill the reason why we're born. We want to be a good king. And listen, God now looked. That's consecration. The man consecrated his life and the manifestation was that he let go of the material things he could have. Let me end my message with one simple statement. You want to go somewhere, fight with God, God will strip you of things that are precious to you. And the prayer you will pray, God, do it early. It's easier when you are 22, 25. Now when you are 45, it's hard. You hear what I said? Yes, you better pass through your test while you are yet young. Because if God has to pass you through it when you are much older, you know we like him. Please, I will explain this thing further next time. My time is really up. Let us just give the Lord thanks. Let's just pray. Let's just give God thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we